What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Rolling with the Golds podcast. Maria, is it 11 or 12?
We're on 12.
12. That's why. Yeah.
Season 2.
Season 2 of episode 12. Final one before Thanksgiving break, too.
Holy cow.
Where is the time gone?
Just a little housekeeping. There will not be an episode next week because, well, it'll be Thanksgiving. So we're going to be spending it eating turkey.
Question mark?
Well, maybe. I actually have a question with you regarding that, too, but I'll get to it in a second.
Oh, boy.
Schedule-wise, for athletics, for Googles. Well, I'll just get jumped right to. So soccer, would they have to play Thanksgiving week if they advance?
Or no.
Is there a break? Okay, no. That's what I was kind of wondering. So, all right.
We can go over those timetables.
Yeah, sounds good. So, but dude, you had to have a busy weekend this last weekend.
Yeah, I think I said it last week, and I'll say it again. It's a good time to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I know, at least crossover season in college athletics can be seen, I think, in just two ways. You either dread it because of how busy it is,
mm-hmm.
or you just get to enjoy it because that means your teams are winning and student athletes are succeeding. And we've fully embraced it this year. So it's been fun. It really has.
Well, let's start off with soccer because back in the Sweet 16, after I'm glad I asked Banks this question. You know, when you get to like these OTs or like these tight games and 0-0 overtime and such, and Blue Goals prevailed in that game. But I mean, as somebody, as you know, fan, and obviously, I mean, that'd be a little nerve wracking to kind of follow along.
I had a hit in my stomach on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they opened the first round against Lake Forest, played very well, scored 5 goals. I think they dominated from the get-go,
mm-hmm.
In that sense. And then they had a tough second-round matchup against Hope,
mm-hmm.
Hope College from Michigan. Holland, Michigan was, you know, very tactically sound, very, very good team up there. They kind of gave it to us, and we had a couple bad breaks, you know, during the first and second half and hit a couple posts here and there and just kept hammering away. And
mm-hmm.
I think we hit a post within the final minute, and then they went down the other way, and actually Spencer Banks made a save with his face in the final moments. So, yeah, they went to double overtime and hit another post, and Tate McDermott was there to, you know, grab the rebound and put it home. And
yep.
Yeah, it was a special weekend. It really was, especially for us hosting our first men's soccer regional.
Mm-hmm.
We've hosted other regionals in the past, but to do it on the men's soccer side, what was fantastic, and to be able to see all the parents there, and it was truly special, especially to, you know, celebrate on our home turf.
Right. Well, and you guys get to host again.
We do.
And then you got a familiar opponent for your Sweet 16.
That we do.
Too.
So, yeah, hosting again this weekend as the second seed.
Mm-hmm.
Amherst made it out of their pod as the one seed. And instead of flying 3 Wisconsin schools out to Boston, the NCAA decided to fly Amherst to us. So Blue Golds will see UW-Platteville for mm-hmm. the third time this season on Saturday in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
Amherst will take on UW-Superior, which, holy cow, that team is on a run and a half right now.
Mm-hmm.
They defeated St. Olaf in PKs on Sunday. So Superior, Platteville, Eau Claire, Amherst, it's going to be a good weekend. Weekend of soccer. And then, as you mentioned, you know, the winner out of this pod makes it to the Final Four. So what the NCAA will do is all next week for Thanksgiving break, they'll take off,
mm-hmm.
and then it's the week after
is
the Final Four, and it's actually down in Vegas this year.
Nice. So, I mean, this is, you know, good chance for one. I mean, there's a 3 out of 4 chance a Wisconsin team's going to represent,
yep.
you know, in Vegas here. But, I mean, that familiarity, obviously it would, you know, I'll ask you this, but you can go both ways here. Does it help the Blue Goals? You're going up against Platteville. Would you say it's kind of a rivalry, the soccer rivalry now?
It has to be.
Yeah.
The games have been so close throughout the years. It's two teams that know each other very well. It's, you know, athletes have not only played against each other, but played with each other,
mm-hmm.
You know, back in their club or high school days. I made this comment, and I think it might have actually been to Jake Sampson, like, on the women's side, they do like an axe, right? Like a traveling trophy,
mm-hmm.
Between Stout and Eau Claire. We got to come up with some sort of trophy for these two teams because mm-hmm. it is always just a fundamentally good game between the two. So yeah, right. they're excited. They're ready to go, and it's gonna be, like I said, it's gonna be another fun weekend here in Eau Claire for soccer.
Absolutely, it's gonna be a lot of fun to watch, and hopefully this team, they're so cool. I just love their story. Hopefully they can get to that Final Four too. So. So what's that like for you then, like from your department hosting this is it anything, is it a lot different than like this last week, or, you know, that was the first time
compared to last week? Mm-hmm. It's much of the same, with just some oddities here and there, like one of the banners that the NCAA sent to us for the regional round, Mother Nature and the wind completely destroyed. It is now, it looks like it went through a shredder, and it's like, oh, it's like 200 inches long or something like that. It's it's a big banner that we had that we won't be able to use this weekend, so probably have to reproduce something for that. And you know, I think we've hosted enough regionals to know what works and what doesn't work per se. So I mean, from my side of things, a lot of it is the same as last weekend. You know, just getting students who are willing to help and have time off, and you know, want to make a little extra cash on the side just to cover some of the odds and ends jobs that we have. But the biggest thing is just making sure that the student athlete experience is to the highest levels. And I think that's one very good thing. I mean, remarks that we've heard from people from last weekend was that even though it was our first, people didn't know it.
They didn't know that.
No, people were like, this is your first time ever house. It's like, yeah, we're a 4-year program. Like, Like we haven't had the opportunity to do that. So I think we'll knock it out of the park again, you know, this weekend. And, you know, again, it all comes down to the student athletes. As long as they enjoy their experience and are allowed to, you know, compete at their highest level, that's all we care about.
I know also this weekend, we're coming up here in a couple of days. You got nationals for cross country, and that's, you know, in the second half of this episode, we're going to be talking with Connor Dolan, assistant coach for cross country and track and field. Men's team's going, individual for the Blue Golds. But, again, this program, whether it's cross-country or track and field, no stranger to nationals.
No, and Connor kind of dives into it, just as, in a sense, during our interview, just what kind of makes Eau Claire special. And, you know, both teams had a very decent regional race. You know, Connor kind of touched on it. The men probably thought that they could, you know, would have ended up a little bit better. On the women's side, I think when the race ended, they thought that they were in, and then some other regionals got done and kind of bumped them out of getting that at-large berth. There's no NPI calculation for that, so I can't even tell you how that math all works out. But yeah, so the guys, and then one gal from the women's team, Keely Bear, will head on down to Indiana for this weekend.
Awesome. And then just the other day, too, Blue Golds found out they're back, or Blue Gold Volleyball found out they're back in nationals, as well as a 4 seed in their side of the bracket. But what, Whitewater's a top seed? Is it Platteville as the other team there, too? 2 seed, I believe?
WashU's got the 2 seed.
Or so it's 3 seed for Platteville?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So, but again, what, 5th time in the last 6 years back in the national tournament?
And this is the part that I like about NPI is Sunday, or I guess Saturday night, we were able to calculate kind of where we sit and everything like that. And then with 5 conference finals on Sunday, you know, okay, here's who we need to win. Here's who, you know, we can't afford to win because it knocks us out and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool to kind of just, you know, okay, this team won, check that box. Here's what the rankings, you know, have us at. And being able to know by like 4 p.m. on Sunday where we sit and whether we're going to be in or not. I think the stress level this year was a lot less, right? Just in the sense of we gathered the team on Monday for a selection show, and you know, it wasn't like, are we in? Or like, we knew we were in, right? It's just, it now then just turns into, okay, where are we going?
And who you play, or essentially too. So,
right, that too. Yeah, 100%. You know, kind of just seeing what does our path look like now, rather than being like, are we on the path, or are we, you know, are we off the path?
Right.
So they open things up on Thursday, 4:30 p.m. Central. They're over in Oshkosh. They will take on Northwestern St. Paul. So a very familiar opponent for them. I think they have what it takes. They really do. It is probably one of the 2 hardest pods of 8. in the bracket, mm-hmm. With teams like you said, Platteville, Oshkosh, WashU. It is going to be a grind, mm-hmm. but I think, you know, somebody once told me, you know, got to beat the best to be the best. So
right. Yep, exactly.
It's right there for them.
Mm-hmm. Their season's now officially in the books. I know you'd mentioned it last week, potentially another record, but Isaac, again, Blue Gold Football, keeps adding his name to the top of the record books for the Blue Golds. But season's over with, now in the books after their game against Whitewater. Arrow still trending upward for this program?
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. You know, this is the first class that Coach Erickson and his staff have been able to bring in and mm-hmm. work with, and I think it's we're still on the up road. I don't think you can look at this record and be like, you know, well, nothing has changed.
Right.
Right. I mean, I know stuff has changed just from being around them, you know, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I got to give a shout out to the senior class, 30 of them. Seeing some of their Instagram posts and stuff like that. These gentlemen have made more of an impact than I think they realize. Just in a sense of, I mean, like you mentioned, Isaac set the bar.
Mm-hmm.
He really did, and especially for a student athlete that didn't necessarily start his collegiate career here.
Right.
And we talked with him. You know, there's a chance he hung up the boots.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So for him to come here and set two records and kind of, you know, set that standard going forward in that wide receiver room, I think is so special.
Yep.
And then just other down-to-earth guys, Michael Wickey, Trey Fitzgerald, Jonah Evans, Brandon Hoovy, like they're all 30 of them, mm-hmm. really are leaving a legacy. Despite, you know, how many wins they had or what their record was, you know, they set the bar high
mm-hmm.
for the next Blue Golds coming in. So
right.
I think there definitely is something special brewing.
Absolutely. Then we're kind of, you know, into some winter sports right now, right? I want to start it off with wrestling here at the Adrian Duels, where it just looks like they kind of dominated again. I know it was a tight one against number 14, Ohio Northern University, but they still beat them. And then they defeated a D2 team, the reserve D2 team of Seton Hill University, 42-8. So they're undefeated so far. They got Whitewater. You're listening to us on Thursday, so it'd be Wednesday. But if you know, that's probably a little rivalry there mm-hmm. with Coach Fader and such. So, but a fantastic start again for this wrestling program.
Yeah, and for anybody that didn't come last Thursday to McPhee, highly recommend making it to a home dual meet this year.
Mm-hmm.
We were about 15 minutes from starting, and I was just getting done talking with the coaches and walking back to the scores table, and somebody stops me and goes, "You might want to look at the front door. We might need more bleachers." And I look, and the entire football team walked in.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we had to go grab more bleachers because it was packed in there. It was standing room only. And they absolutely crushed it. They did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shut out Oshkosh for, you know,
the Chancellor's Cup.
For yep. the Chancellor's Cup and the initial mm-hmm. WIAC win. Mm-hmm. But what an atmosphere, what a night that was. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, they're on a roll, and they're just continue to, you know, keep doing the thing.
And it was a good way to honor Don Parker too, right?
Yes.
I had him as a professor when I was over there too. So, but that was the perfect night to honor him too.
100%.
So, let's go to, should we do some little hockey? A little hockey talk here?
A little puck here.
We got the women's team coming up here. Let me bring that. I've got my wrong tabs up here. I thought I was actually prepared for you for once. But the women's team so far, 4-1. I mean, they dominated Northland College last Friday, 11-0, and then picking up a win against Superior. So now they've got, St. Mary's, which is going to be a tough one, and then this weekend, the rival again, River Falls.
Right.
So
yeah, their schedule does not get, this next couple weeks does not get any easier. So St. Mary's is their lone loss of the year,
mm-hmm.
As the Cardinals came up here in the home opener and took it to us. So
Gustavus after that too. So I mean,
right.
You're talking the next three for crying
right.
out loud.
So they see the 15th ranked team on Tuesday. They go off to the number one team on Saturday, and then next Tuesday they go to or they host the number two team in Gustavus. So
mm-hmm.
tough stretch here.
Yep.
But you know, like I just said, you got to beat the best to be the best.
Yep.
So very, very good tests. Coming into these next couple of weeks before Thanksgiving.
And then the men's team coming off of a win against Augsburg on Saturday. They'll have Superior and then Stouts coming up this weekend, too.
It's crazy. Again, it's crazy that we're already starting conference play. It really is. But it's I think that Augsburg win was huge just in the sense of they've personally, I feel like they've outplayed all of their opponents. Mm-hmm. They just haven't been able to find the back of the net and to get five past a very sound defensive team in Augsburg, I think, is kind of what they needed. Mm-hmm. So I think I think some good things are coming mm-hmm. in the sense of I think they could get on a roll here before Christmas break and then, mm-hmm. you know, continue it in the new year.
The men's basketball team coming back from Ohio, it seems like this team, Nick, is literally like maybe a couple plays away from being 4-0 to start the season.
They are. It's not. Yeah.
The overtime loss to Gustavus, but then, you know, over in Ohio, just a, like last second plays in each one of those.
Two last second buckets down in Ohio. Last second bucket, Gustavus had to tie the game in the second day of the tip-off tournament. Like, you're 100% right. This team is three plays, more or less, away from being 4-0. They've held the lead at half in all four of those games, and it's just one of those things where, you know, it's a new coaching staff, right? And I don't want to put the blame on Zach or Adam, but you know, how do they overcome, you know, those and keep those leads,
right?
So they got Bethel this weekend, which I think will be another good test for them.
At Sonnentag, so make sure you get down there and take in that game if you haven't done so yet. It's fantastic. Watching a basketball game over there.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then the women's team, they've got, again, we'll know the result by the time this is out, but College of St. Benedict, again, at Sonnentag on Wednesday night.
Yeah, so. And they're coming off, I mean, kind of similar fashion, they're coming off a very close defeat.
To Central,
To Central College last Saturday. Mm-hmm. They held the lead for a good portion of that game and, you know, just couldn't find it in the end. So they bring things back with another Midwest team. A non-conference opponent here at home, and looking forward to them, you know, starting to roll.
Absolutely. And then we've got coming up here, I'm double-checking because I don't want you calling me out here. We had swimming and diving against St. Cloud University this past weekend.
Yeah,
tough one.
Yeah, tough one. And, you know, not to – I mean, St. Cloud D2 school.
Right. Yep.
So not to say that we were always going to come on the short end of that one, but – you know, so some good results, some very good results against a very, very good team. So I think that meet they kind of host every year is a measuring stick for them, just in the sense of, you know, kind of see where they're at and things where they need to work, and they'll be just fine.
Absolutely. A little bit of a break until they've got their Rochester invite, then another little bit of a break until January over there too.
Yep.
So did I miss any? Am I good? Did I get it covered all?
You're good.
Yeah. All right. Should we get to our guest coming up here?
Yeah, let's jump into it.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. We got a word from our fine sponsors. And then first-year assistant coach, but no stranger to the program, Connor Dolan, first-year assistant coach for cross country and track and field, former runner for the men's program. He's going to be joining us after these quick words.
We're proud to support local Wisconsin organizations with the Festival Foods Brat Stand, where grilling and fundraising go hand in hand. This year, when you sign up your organization to work the stand, you'll also be entered to win an additional $1,000 for your cause. Sign up today and get ready to do good with Wisconsin's favorite food.
Join us Saturday, February 8th for your chance to win ice augers, ice shacks, a Cargo Max trailer, gift cards, cash, and more. A 2-year lease on a Ford F-150 will be drawn from all registered fish tickets. Raffle prizes include a new Polaris Sportsman 450 ATV, $500 in Shields gift cards, and more. Brought to you by UW-Eau Claire Recreation, Blue Gold Athletics, the Lake Wissota Lions Club, and title sponsor Shields and Eau Claire Ford, along with Anytime Trailer, Wissota Lodge, Earth Blinds, Earth Ponds, The View on Lake Wissota, Next Gen Power Sports, Nicolet Bank, Hy-Vee, WEAU, Eskimo, and Ice Castle Outdoors. Join us Saturday, February 8th on Lake Wissota. Visit jigsup.org for details and follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Royal Credit Union's smart checking accounts offer no monthly fees and no minimum balance. Make the switch to a Royal checking account and you'll also get real-time transaction alerts, free mobile check deposits, and surcharge-free access to over 40,000 ATMs across the U.S. Enjoy financial freedom with no minimum balance and no monthly fees when you switch to Royal's smart checking account. Learn more and open your Royal Credit Union smart checking account online at rcu.org/gochecking. Insured by NCUA.
Second half of this episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, Up and Rollin'. Nick, as a tradition unlike any other, introduce our next guest.
Yeah, we have another assistant coach. One that was, I think we've covered all the new assistant coaches. Almost all of them. I think we still got Sam, swim and dive, and Jeff with women's golf. But yes, today's guest is a blue gold through and through. Was here as a student athlete. Holds, you know, the seventh fastest time in the 8K and the third fastest in steeplechase in blue gold history.
Ooh.
Was a 3-time All-American and was the WIAC Max Sparger scholar athlete his senior year, and definitely left his mark as a student athlete, then went off to adult a little bit and then came back and is now on the coaching staff and has both blue gold cross country teams, you know, towards the upper echelon of the Midwest. So welcome to the Rolling with the Golds podcast, Connor Dolan.
Thank you, Nick. It's great to be here.
Connor, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you originally from? And maybe kind of go back a little bit to what drew you to be a runner at UW-Eau Claire.
So I'm actually from Wisconsin. I grew up central Wisconsin, went to high school in Wisconsin Rapids.
Nice.
And, you know, growing up, I kind of veered towards deciding I really wanted to run in college. And I think what was a turning point for me was back in 2015. I was a junior in high school, and the NCAA D3 Cross Country National Championships were in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. So I decided I was going to go there. Dan Schwamberger, the head coach, had reached out to me before, and being able to go there, and if you don't know your blue gold history, that was actually the meet that the men's cross country team won nationals. So that was kind of my first exposure to Eau Claire cross country, and seeing that definitely left a mark on my mind. Like, man, this is some place that I could go and be a part of something like that. And I think that stuck with me throughout my high school career, and obviously it brought me to Eau Claire, and really it was definitely a turning point for me in my running career and where I went afterwards.
Did you so with state cross country, the ridges over there? Did
oh
you
yeah,
run that quite a bit with the golf course there.
Couple times, three times, yeah.
Yep, because I used to work in Rapids for a couple years too, so golfed that course quite a bit. Never ran it. But so you ran. You're over here track and field and cross country. Was that something you were looking at too? That was that a draw to do both, or was that just kind of an added extra bonus a little bit?
In high school, I definitely considered myself more of a cross country runner. But having come here, I knew I was going to do track and field, and they definitely had just as much success in the track and field department. And really, I wanted to be able to go to a program and compete. You know, I was getting the best out of myself, and then hopefully contribute to some team titles.
How easy, or I shouldn't say easy, but how does it benefit an athlete, you know, when you were an athlete at that time, to have, you know, in those two sports, but the coaching staff sort of same, you know, the head coach and the assistant coach, obviously they flip-flop, you know, in different seasons. But how does that transition? How is that as an athlete to be able to, yes, you're competing in two different sports, but the coaching staffs are essentially the same?
It makes it seamless. I mean, the sports are, yes, they're technically different sports, but really, for the cross-country perspective, it doesn't change that much. You just add more athletes on the team because you're adding all the track and field events.
Right.
The training changes a little bit, but we still see Dan and Marcy every day, and we just get the added benefit of having Chip with us also.
Is the, just because I don't know if Dan knows, but I know, and you obviously know, the relationship between Dan and Chip is very special in a sense of they're kind of yin and yang. Like, they work very, very well with each other, but they're definitely two different styles of coaching. Seeing it for, you know, as a student athlete to now being on the coaching staff, does it give you a little bit different perspective of how they do things?
I would say it doesn't give me a different perspective. I just because I think having been in the program for so long and knowing Chip and Dan, I don't view them any differently, but I understand the yin-yang perspective even perhaps more so, just with Dan being definitely more patient and Chip, you know, being a little bit more impatient and
hates losing.
Out.
Yeah, hates losing. Let's call a spade a spade. He has said it on this podcast. He hates losing.
Yep. Yeah, we can't mention a certain school when we talk about that.
Which that's something he kind of passes down to the rest of the team, right?
I don't know if Chip passes it down. If it's just we all. I think especially on the guys' team, and I believe on the women's team as well. But we all hate losing, I think. But maybe being with Dan half the time, we understand the patience necessary to be able to win. But
yeah.
Chip definitely leaves the mark on us not wanting to lose.
And I think that's, you know, kind of relates to the success the programs have had over the years, right? I mean, you're talking, that's kind of the goals, right? When we've had Chip on before, he's talked about goals. They're very high goals when it comes to track and field cross country.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, we're a national program. Like, our goal is usually always the same, to be competing at the national championships. And unfortunately, I mean, there's waves every year, things change, but yeah, that's a hallmark of our program.
For anybody listening, Nick had mentioned a little bit earlier, can you explain what the steeplechase is for anybody who's not listening? Who is listening but doesn't understand it?
If I remember correctly, if I know my history, I think it really starts out more as a horse race.
Okay.
But it's basically where you're hopping over these barriers and water pits. Now, in track and field, it's a 3,000-meter race, so 7.5 laps of the track. And outside of the first half lap, every lap has 5 barriers and 1 water pit. So if you could think of it like a hurdle race for distance, that's probably the most accurate way to describe it.
Okay. Interesting. I did not know that.
So from Wisconsin Rapids, you come to Eau Claire, have a storied career here, and then you go off to Colorado. How was Colorado? Because you were pursuing your master's, but then you also, you know, you competed a little bit and then got yourself into coaching. Is that, you know, I guess two-part question, how was Colorado? And then second part, was coaching always kind of, you know, your end goal? Or not end goal, but was that something you always kind of saw yourself doing?
Yeah, I mean, when I left here, when I was planning to figure out what I was doing after I graduated, I knew I was going to go to grad school. And one of the few benefits of COVID was I walked away with a little bit of extra eligibility that we just didn't have a grad program here for me to do. So Colorado State offered me, they said I could come run for them for a year. And when I was planning to leave, I knew that I wanted to go into coaching. I had thought about it for years. And when I was talking with Dan, he mentioned that perhaps competing at a Division I level and getting to know the connections there might benefit me. And at the same time, I would also be able to continue competing and see a different style of training. I enjoyed Colorado. I enjoyed the team. The program of study wasn't quite what I was expecting, and that kind of threw a wrench for me out there. But it was definitely a eye-opening year for me competing for Colorado State. And then the next year, that was when I started to get into coaching. And there was some, I didn't know exactly where I was going to end up. My hope was initially I was going to be able to volunteer at Colorado State. There were some NCAA rules that ended up throwing wrenches in people's plans to have volunteer coaches. They figured it out eventually, but I actually was offered a assistant coaching position at a high school, and that ended up being a really great fit for me. They were probably, as I would describe to people, they were a high school team that was as closely run to a college program as you could be, and they were... The coach, Danny Cook, was exceptional, and I was very lucky to be able to coach with her, and the team was exceptional. I mean, the girls' cross-country team won Garmin Running Lane that fall and second at Colorado State. And if you don't know the Colorado State distance running scene, like, it is exceptional. They have athletes that, I mean, you combine states and you might not get that depth of talent. And I also got to try some new things. I was able to coach hurdles for track, which was a unique experience, learning experience, and it kind of, I think, set me up to eventually make my way back here.
With you participating in Colorado, and maybe this isn't a big thing, but like, was the elevation something to adjust to at certain times? I mean, we hear about that a lot in different sports. Was that something you had to adjust to?
Yeah, the first I'd say 2 to 3 months were definitely definitely a change because the training was way far different than what I was used to, and mm-hmm. adding in the altitude, it definitely forced me to be, as Dan would say, patient for the first few months before I could really get into training hard.
So you got a bachelor's degree, was it biochemistry and molecular biology, first of all? Kudos to you, man. What's the goal with what, or what's the grad, or what'd you go to graduate school then for, or what's your career goal?
Well, I think my career goal has definitely shifted from when I came to Eau Claire. I came to Eau Claire planning medical school, and that's what led me to do biochemistry, molecular biology. And then I did my master's degree in chemistry, specifically chemical biology, and that was more of exploring what was out there, what grad programs I could do with my my bachelor's degree, and also having a backup plan in case things all fall through, and exploring something that I do find interesting. So that kind of was the career goal is now coaching, but before it was medical school, and as most high strung type A people are, I'd say that it's shifted though.
So you coming back to Eau Claire, it's your first year as an assistant coach. Was that something you reached out, or was it the coaches that kind of reached out to you? How did that all transpire?
So when I first left, Dan told me that they were hoping to eventually get a assistant coaching position. I didn't know if it was going to happen. And last year, essentially around March, Dan had told me that they were planning to hopefully hire an assistant coach. And when the position opened up, they both sent, both Dan and Chip sent it to me. And I, it was pretty seamless. I applied and fortunate enough that they thought I was the best fit for the job.
Awesome. So what's it been like now being, what's that transition like being a runner from that program to now being a coach within that program? Is it obviously a little bit different, but has it been kind of an adjustment for you? Is it like you've never maybe left for the last couple of years?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like I never left, but at the same time, it's definitely different being a coach. What makes it, I think, a little bit different slash an interesting experience is that at least two of the classes on the guys team I was teammates with, which changes the dynamic a little bit, but actually I don't think it's in a bad way. I think it allows me actually to get along really well with the athletes, and as a coach it makes them comfortable coming to me and talking with me, and I get to know what makes them tick and help them succeed.
Our race day is a little weird in a sense of you're not necessarily you're now prepping both teams, you know, to race rather than, you know, prepping yourself to race with the team?
Yes and no. I think during my time, I mean, I was a captain for a few years, so it kind of falls under the umbrella of prepping the team, I think. It's definitely weird not to be racing myself. At the first meet of the year, I was thinking, wow, I remember running this race every year and missing it a little bit, but at the same time excited for the team. But I wouldn't say that it's necessarily that different. It's just, it's more different to not be racing myself.
You've mentioned, you know, training, whether it was in Colorado, different types of training and that. What is a typical, maybe for the Blue Golds, like a week for a cross-country athlete, you know, kind of just a training week or diet, you know, exercise or getting ready for practice. What does that week look like leading up to a race?
Well, leading up to a race, and I would say especially this week, because nationals are coming up, we I wouldn't say conservative, but it's smart. I think we went pretty hard last week to make it to nationals. So usually we follow the same kind of schedule. On Mondays, it's usually a pretty controlled run, and we usually just do some injury prevention, strength. But Tuesdays are normally our workout days. This week it's going to be a race prep workout, so it's nothing too hard. It's just a little bit of sharpening. They'll get a solid run in, followed by some 200s, and that way they can just get used to running a little bit quick, get the regional race out of their legs, and feel sharp for nationals. We leave on Wednesday. Wednesday's usually a pretty easy day for us, so some guys might cross train, some guys might do an easy run. We'll make it out to the nationals course on Thursday, and the guys in Keeley will, same thing, do a run, a couple pickups just to get the legs moving. Friday will be pre-meet. Saturday will be race.
We've had some cross-country runners on before, and they've talked about, too, where a lot of times when they're on the course, it can be kind of a team event, too, where they're helping out each other. How different is it for, as you mentioned, Keeley going, who she's just kind of representing, you know, just the team herself? Is that something that she has to adjust to a little bit? Does she change her mindset going into that, knowing she's the only blue gold out there, do you think?
I would say, having been in her position before, it might change a little bit, mm-hmm. but probably not too much. I think what's going to be the biggest change is kind of being by herself mm-hmm. in the warm-up and in the pre-meet, because luckily we'll have the coaching staff and another girl out there with her, but mm-hmm. it's going to be different not having the whole team with her. Mm-hmm. In the race itself, it might change a little bit without having the pressure of the team, mm-hmm. but at the same time, Keeley's a really exceptional runner, and I think kind of once she gets in the race, her brain will shift into race mode, and mm-hmm. my guess is she'll just be out there competing.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that sentiment too, where we've had some say, you know, it is kind of a team environment, you know, whether it's, you know, just kind of maybe it's like we've had, I think, a couple girls talking about, you know, just kind of little motivation stuff while they're running, you know, keep pace. Do you think that's kind of an underrated aspect of cross country, is that it is a kind of a team environment too?
I would agree, especially in the race. Our mm-hmm. girls team is really great at that, where they race together, and mm-hmm. when you're racing together, it makes it easier to stay mentally engaged, whether that means you have your eye on your teammate pushing you along or just having your teammates surrounding you. It definitely changes the environment of the race, and I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm. How much does like scouting go into this? So you got nationals, you know, coming up with the course. Does the scouting go into, obviously, you know, other sports, you may watch film of an opponent or something like that. Well, the opponent's kind of the course, right, a little bit. So do you guys do a little scouting to help out your runners?
A little bit, I would say. It really depends on the race. So on our bigger races, we usually try to get there prior to the day of the race so mm-hmm. we can see the course, see what we're up against. And the course, like you said, it kind of is an opponent. The biggest dichotomy of examples would be our conference course versus our regional course. They couldn't be more different. Our conference course was essentially a track, super flat, super fast, and it changes how we expect the race to go. And with the conference course, we just expected it to be fast from the gun, and it was. And if you look at the times, I mean, they were blistering fast. Mm-hmm. Now, regionals was different. It was a very tough course. It was hilly, and the course itself, like you said, was an opponent. It wasn't going to make the race easier, and it changes how you race. You might have to be a little bit more conservative and in control just because the hills and the wind might change how you feel, change how you can approach the race.
Mm-hmm.
Nationals is a little bit different. You usually have chances to see the course prior with the pre-national meet. We didn't go this year. We chose to go to Augustana Invitational. However, the D3 Nationals has been here before, so Dan has seen the course. We've had success at this course back in 2012. I believe the women's team was fifth, the men's team was 10th, and we had two guy All-Americans. So Dan knows the course, and he knows how to race it. Now, I think the biggest concern with the course is more the conditions, whether it's muddy or windy, mm-hmm. because the course is pretty open. But yeah, we do put some emphasis on seeing the course, figuring out how it's going to affect our race plan.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, do you change the training regimen for the week based on what the coaching staff's knowledge of the courses? So in a sense, did you guys maybe run flatter routes during practice for conference versus running prior to regionals?
I wouldn't think so. Usually we have our training plan, and I like the way it's set up, but we don't necessarily change based on the course. Just because I think while that might give short-term gains on certain races, I think in the long term of things, it can be a bit short-sighted. Just because you want the training to progress and you want it to be intelligently designed. If we're constantly pinpointing different things, it might mess with the flow of training. That being said, we did change some things a little bit this year, where we were focusing more on increasing duration of pace. So we're running the pace that we want to run at the end of the season, and we're doing it earlier versus at the end of the season. And that part of it was because of Augustana in particular, where we needed to perform to make it to nationals, and the course is flat, the course is fast, and we wanted to be ready to run that fast. So we changed the overall progression of the training a little bit, but not necessarily to benefit, say, conference versus regionals.
You mentioned, you know, the differences a little bit earlier, like you went a little harder last week or in your previous one, a little bit easier for this one. Is that just based off just making sure the bodies rest and ready to get going for nationals because it's a little bit grueling, or what's the philosophy kind of behind that?
So I think that's where thinking about the training and how people respond and being reflective about mm-hmm. the training. We had a great workout the week before regionals, and mm-hmm. we were thinking about, okay, the guys felt great during this workout. What did we do before this? Because conference was also a grueling race in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so we want to reflect and think, okay, what did we do on Tuesday before, and how did that affect us in the workout? And so we're kind of taking a step back, returning to that, and because the goal would be that we get that same effect on Saturday that we had for the workout mm-hmm. leading into regionals.
Was there something while you were a runner for Dan and Chip that maybe you didn't quite understand, maybe you disagreed with, but now as a coach, you're kind of like, okay, now I get why they were doing this, or why they said this, or what that philosophy was? Was there something that maybe you noticed was your runner? Now it's maybe a little different perspective as a coach with them right now?
I'd say a little bit, yes. I understand the patience mm-hmm. a lot more. I think I understood it well then. But now being as a coach and being, I think I keep coming back to the word reflecting, but mm-hmm. reflecting on my own experience and the experiences of the different athletes, I do understand the importance of it and trying to make sure that everyone is able to progress to achieve their goal and their best athletic performance.
Mm-hmm. As a runner, you know, obviously we're in Wisconsin. Do you prefer when it's colder or a little bit warmer?
I personally prefer the cold. Yeah. I really do not enjoy running in the heat.
Yeah. So I think we've asked a couple runners that before, like, you know, would you rather layer up or anything like that? And I think there was like a happy medium between the two with the runners there.
I mean, I'd say fall is the perfect season for running just mm-hmm. because of that.
Mm-hmm. So, like, can you remember in Oshkosh, was it cold at that one that you went to watch?
Yes, it was very cold.
Very cold over there? So is that something, as a runner, do you prepare? Obviously, with rain, it's, you know, you mentioned a little bit earlier, if it's muddy conditions or anything like that. But temperature-wise, is that something you guys try to look ahead and prepare for as runners too?
Yeah, especially if it's going to be hot. Cold, we're not that concerned about because you can layer up. Heat is... It's different. The physiological effects are significantly different, and if you're not prepared for it, it can really affect you. I know as an athlete, and I think some of the guys still do this, but when I was here competing, we two track national championships I was at. One was in North Carolina, one was in Ohio, and the North Carolina meet was 90 plus degrees, and that whole season I and a couple other guys were doing workouts in long sleeves, even if we were on the indoor track, just to prepare for that, because we didn't want it to be our undoing come nationals.
Mm-hmm. So what's, you know, with nationals coming up here, what's kind of the message to, you know, as you got, because you're going as a team for the men's side, and then you got an individual on the women's side. What's the message that you as the coaches are kind of saying to your runners right now?
I think really believe in yourself. Our guys' team, they're a good team. And I think regionals was a bit of a shock to the guys. We kind of expected to be a little bit higher up. But when you look back at the race, they closed really strong, and they definitely have more in the tank. And if you're at nationals, you belong at nationals. Mm-hmm. So I think for them, it's really believe in themselves. Especially, I mean, this is the first time since, I think, my senior year that the guys' team has been to nationals. And I want them to be able to go, believe in themselves, and compete. For Keely, it's the same message. She's been on fire this year, and, you know, she's had so many good races this year that I think nationals should be just as good as every other race. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes for the guys. Like, if you look back at the season as a whole, it's been really good, and I have no reason to believe that nationals will be anything else.
Now, you mentioned it because of your experience as a runner at nationals. Have you used that a little bit in your coaching with your players, you know, just your experience with that? Because it wasn't that long ago?
It wasn't that long ago. Sometimes I think the thing is with every athlete, everyone is a little bit different, whether mm-hmm. it's mindset, whether it's physicality, what they respond to. And I think what worked for me, I don't necessarily think would work for many other athletes. And so while, yes, I do reflect on it, I don't think it – if I talk to the athletes the way that I would say talk to myself as an athlete, I don't think it would be the best outcome.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a good part for a coach, knowing how to coach individual players or athletes too, because everybody responds differently to leadership, right? Everybody's kind of, as you mentioned, built differently there. So it's in Indiana, right? Nationals in Indiana. Any idea? Can you give us a little bit of a scouting report, what this course is like for some of the listeners out there?
It's a true cross-country course. Yeah. And so this course has hosted Division I Nationals many times. It's, when you first look at it, it looks flat, but it's because it's basically on this open field, and it's kind of I want to say unrelenting, but it's just constantly rolling, whether you're going uphill or downhill, and it's on an open field, so if it's windy, it's a brutal race. I think the last time Division I Nationals hosted it was, I want to say, in 2019.
Okay.
It was a brutally muddy year, so the times are slow, so I would say weather conditions play a huge factor in this course. If it's soft and windy, it could be a really slow day. And when I hear that, I think opportunity. Mm. Because tough conditions, that's when the grittiest people show up, and those are the people that succeed. Now, on the flip side, it's definitely an interesting course. The first, from what I've heard, the first 600 meters are essentially downhill, so it's probably going to get out really fast, and you end going 600 meters uphill. At a gradual incline, but it's still an uphill is uphill. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, I think it's a course that favors the strong, not and especially if the conditions are poor, it'll favor the strong and tough, not necessarily the fastest people. Mm-hmm.
So once cross country's over with, what, because a lot of the athletes from cross country are in track and field, right? Yes. And vice versa. So once cross country season's over with, how much downtime do you guys have? I mean, you got indoor track season, obviously, too, but is there a quick transition? Or is there a little bit of downtime?
Yeah, I think this is where Dan, our coaching philosophy's philosophy of patience comes in, because we, after cross country, we usually have all our athletes usually take 7 days completely off, more if needed, and all of December is definitely just controlled running. It's kind of like our summer base where we're just returning to running, making sure we're healthy, and getting ready for indoor, because you don't lose that much fitness, and you can gain it back really quickly. Mm-hmm. And our goal would be, if we came back too soon, athletes would probably end up getting injured. And our goal is usually outdoor nationals. So yeah, we have indoor turnaround, but we usually train through indoor and use that as a springboard. And that means being pretty patient in December.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any more before I get one more into lightning round here?
No.
So if we have a potential recruit maybe listening, because we've had recruits listen to our episodes, and you being assistant coach, what would be the message to that runner that you would tell them about what makes Eau Claire stand out, whether it is cross country or track and field?
I think what I think Eau Claire makes Eau Claire stand out is that we're a program that focuses on development, and specifically looking at the athlete as a whole. And we do our best to take care of our athletes. And usually what that means is if we're doing our job right, and everyone is staying healthy and consistent, we do exceptional things with those athletes. I mean, if you look at the guys and girls we have and what they end up doing, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. The progression that we have with, whether it be the resources or the coaching staff, like our coaching staff stands out among the WIAC. I mean, no one's done what we've done. I mean, on the cross country side and distance side, from what I can tell, and I think we're the only coaching staff in the nation that's won a guy's cross country title, a girl's cross country title, and we've had an individual win every single men's outdoor title from the 800 to the 10K. Mm-hmm. No one's done that, and most of those athletes were decent athletes in high school. And like when they come in, if you put in the work here, we're going to put the work into you, and we're going to do our absolute best to make sure that you can come out, if not a champion, pretty darn close.
I guess one more to kind of piggyback off that too. I mean, because It wasn't that long ago, too, where track and field, you started finally hosting your own events, and you were, I think, if you never got to be able to do that, right?
It happened the year after I left that we hosted our own outdoor track meet.
Mm-hmm. So what was that like as a coach, you know, just kind of sitting there or watching have you coached track and field yet, or this will be your first year?
This will be the first year that I'll be here for the home invite.
Right, so that'll be a different experience, right, to be a coach and thinking, man, I wish I could have ran in some of these events.
Don't have
Simpson.
To hop in a van or get on the bus that morning.
I mean, it's definitely nice. I think what we're doing with updating our facilities and getting to a point where we can host events here, it's cool. You get to have our athletes on campus competing, and that I think is a cool thing for our athletes. I mean, especially they can do it at home and be able to show that they can run fast here.
Right. Exactly. All right. Should we do some lightning round? Unless you got another one.
No. Let's get into it.
All right. Let's do it. Hard questions now, Connor. Okay. Favorite food?
Pizza.
Oh.
TS right up.
Yep. Does pineapple belong on a pizza? Yeah. Thank you. I didn't even have to finish that. I like that. That a boy. What was your? Did you have like a pregame ritual, pre-race ritual, or anything like that? Superstitions?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, yes, I had a routine, but nothing that like if I lost it, I wouldn't be able to do.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what most runners have said, is they've corrected us and just said it's a routine rather than
it's a routine. Yeah,
superstitious or something like that.
Because who is the one that always brushed her teeth before every race?
I guess I do have one. I always go into a race clean-shaven.
Okay. That's one. Yep. Yeah, because that was probably the most unique routine. I'm going to start saying routine now. Was brushing her teeth before every race.
Which makes sense, right? In the sense of, you stick to a routine.
Yeah.
So your body,
Yeah. Continues. Well, you hear a lot of athletes talk about that.
Also, I feel like running is so physiologically demanding that any little thing could throw it off. And our bodies function on routine. So I think, if you talk to distance runners, it's definitely routine all the way.
How much is running, especially long distance, a mental game too?
Oh, running long distance, it's just pain management. Yeah. It's your ability to handle pain.
Yeah.
Because, everything hurts in some version of sport, but the long pain of distance running, it's how well can you handle that?
Mm-hmm. So. I think that's kind of an underrated aspect of that. Would you agree that the mental game of that?
Well, I think to be a great distance runner, you have to be 100% physically there and 100% mentally there. And so, the mental game, people don't always think about it, but I've seen talented athletes come in, and until they figure out the mental game, they're not nearly as good as they could be. And once they figure it out, they take off. So the mental game, it's something that I talk to the athletes a lot about who definitely might struggle with it, but once they figure it out, they will be unstoppable.
Right. Favorite movie?
Oh, gosh. I don't watch a ton of movies. I'll say Inception.
Okay, good one. What was the last thing, or what's the current thing you're binge watching, streaming, or anything like that?
Sam Vakuki will love my answer. I'm currently watching Psych right now.
Okay.
So
yep.
Sam Vakuki, one of our guys on the team, got me into it.
Nice. I like that. Favorite music, whether it's just, in the car or maybe getting ready for a race?
I don't know if I have a specific genre. I guess it would be like, how to explain it? Kind of in that folksy, popish genre. I don't know how to explain it. I kind of listen for artists versus.
Maybe like a genre. Mumford & Sons sort of thing?
Yeah, maybe.
Like a little bit like that? So, okay.
I enjoy Vampire Weekend, I think. Okay. Good music.
Yep, definitely. Favorite book? Do you have a favorite book? This was a tough one for a lot of people.
My favorite book. I'll say Ender's Shadow.
Which one's it? What's that
so
about?
So have you heard the movie or book Ender's Game?
Yes.
So it's basically like a, I can't say prequel. It's a it's a book the storyline goes concurrently with Ender's Game, and it's about a different character.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How about what's your favorite hobby, or maybe a different sport, or what do you do to kind of, you know, get away from everything?
I really enjoy the card and board games.
Okay.
I say a lot.
Nice.
Or, I mean, just to get away. I enjoy reading, so I read a lot of books.
So that was a good question.
It was a good question. I just read so many. But, yeah.
Who's been the biggest influence in your life?
The biggest influence in my life? Probably an answer that most people give. I'd say my parents. But just because growing up, they definitely taught me that nothing is given, everything's earned, and you have to just work hard, and if you can work hard, eventually things will come about. But yeah, I'd say my parents.
When did you know that you wanted to, like, what was that point that you really got into cross country?
After my freshman year of high school, I remember two things. I remember going to the state cross country meet, and not qualified as an individual or a team. And I remember watching it and thinking, I'm not going to miss this again. And then at the end of my freshman year, same thing. I hadn't qualified for state track, and I remember watching the 3200 and thinking, wow, there was actually Blue Gold alum, all-time great, Darren Mile, was racing, and he actually won the race. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to miss these state meets again. And that was when I kind of shifted my mindset to being kind of all in on running and cross country.
That's a really cool story. That is really cool.
As a runner, do you have like an all-time favorite course that you've ran?
Oh, my favorite course is probably from high school. I think there's in Wausau, Rib Lake area, there's Nine Mile Park. And that was where sectionals was my junior and senior year. And both of those were when I raced there, I ran PRs and I won both races. So they were, it was a really great course for me. From college, I really enjoy, at the end of the year after conference, for the guys who don't make our regional team, they go to Luther College and run the Saga Cup. I really enjoyed that course. That was probably my favorite collegiate course. I know it was my freshman year PR and kind of a breakout race for me. So I really enjoy those. Those would be my favorite two courses.
You mentioned Rib Lake. That's my neck of the woods now over there. I'm from Medford, so
okay.
Over there. So, yeah, we're the only two that know Rib Lake right now. That's probably listening. So, obviously you've been in Eau Claire a long time now. Favorite go-to spot in Eau Claire?
Favorite go-to spot?
Could be a coffee restaurant or somewhere just to hang.
Probably the Goat, the coffee house.
That's a popular one, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a very, I mean, with the cross, I'm sure if you talk to the cross team, that's a really popular one. We have a lot of athletes that work there and just go there for spend time.
So what's your go-to coffee then?
I mean, probably a dirty chai.
Okay, nice. My wife would
chai
like
latte
that one.
With a shot of espresso.
My wife would like that one. So I don't have any more lighting around. Do you have, Nick? Do you want to? That was a good one. You chimed in on that.
Yeah.
I like that one.
No, this has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No, we appreciate it. Best of luck, Connor, for Nationals coming up here. We're going to be paying attention. And are you getting excited to kind of transition to track and field, too, here a little bit? Or
a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I love track. But, I mean, for now, it's just cross country all the way.
Yeah.
Though it's getting excited. We've been having some track time trials with our guys, not on the regional national team, and our ladies as well. And, I mean, they're running fast, so I'm really excited to see what they do in track.
That's awesome. Coach, we appreciate it so much, and we'll be watching, and best of luck this season.
Yeah, thank you.